The following recording consists of several parts. It includes the recording of this year's Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review, which allows you in a few moments just to go over the Daf, and then it continues on with the same Daf in the previous Daf Yomi cycle, which of course has a completely different ambience and a whole different group of people that are in attendance. You can use that for Chazorah if you wish, and you may actually prefer the ambience of the earlier daf.
Today's daf in Besefet Zvachim is daf Pechet, and we begin at that Halakha Mishnah of Klei Halach. So yesterday we spoke about the end of the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah describes how it is that Kelim are Mekachim, and not only the Kevesh and the Mizbech, but the Mekadesh. And now the question is, for whatever that Kiddush is, and remember that was the issue, is it Mekadosh even to be Magri Psulin, or is it Mekadosh only in terms of not allowing you to be paid to it? But whatever it is Mekadosh, the Mishnah comes to explain. The Mishnah comes to explain that it depends on the Kli. Klei Halach, so Kelim that are meant to be used for liquid, such as the Mizrakot Adam, or the various Ka'arot, which were used to keep in the liquid, such as the Shemen, or the Yayin that were used for Menachot, they would be Mekadesh only liquid. Midot Yavesh are Mekadshot Ata Yavesh. The measuring cups that were used to determine the Yisaron, Shnei Yisronim, that was a mix that was used for solet, and that would be Mekadesh solet, but not the other way around. Ein klei halach mekadeshet et klei halach mekadeshet et hayavesh v'lo hayavesh mekadeshet halach. So each one is miyuchad for its own particular type. Klei hakodesh shenikvu, if there's a hole in a kli, then what determines whether it still has the kedushat kli legabe kiddush is that im osim behen me'in malach tan shayu osim behen shlemim mikachi. If they still do the type of job, in other words, are usable for the same type of thing that they would have been usable when they were not in any way damaged, then they continue to be mekad. The imlav, but if now they need to be used for something else because they're no longer usable for, let's say it had a little hole, so you can't use liquid, you use it for something that is larger, then it's not mekadesh at all. V'chulan ein mekadshin ela bekodesh, and the only way to be mekadesh with a kli is if it is inside the azara itself. Omar Shmuel lo shonu ela midot. Now, there's a difference between things that are used for measurements, which indeed are miyuchet for the measuring thing that it measures, so that you're not going to be able to use something that has in it a size that is meant for a volume measure of something that's dry measure, and use that to measure something that's liquid, which has a completely different system of measurement. Therefore, it's not meant for that type of thing. But when it comes to mizrakot, so you have a cup that is not in no way is concerned with measuring anything, it's just concerned with containing. So a mizrak is used for the dam. If I fill that up with, let us say, solat for a mincha, will also be mekadesh, and it's actually a beferish aposik, because when we speak about the korbanot of the nesiim, so we have over there, each one brings a karat kesev echad, and mizrak echad kesev, and then it says shneihem meleim solat. So a mizrak is here being used to contain solat. Even though mizrak, by definition, means something that you splash from, that you throw the dam from. So clearly, Shishmuel, there's got to be a difference. And the Mishnah's got to be referring to, here's measuring cups. So as we have a liquid pint measurement, then that's not going to be Mekadosh the Yovish. But something that's a container is Mekadosh. Omer lei Rav Acha min difti l'Ravina. How does that prove anything? I mean, he's bringing a raya from a mincha, solet. Solet is not just plain solet, because read on, Shnehem Elaim solet, Bilula Bashemen, Lemincha. A solet that's Bilula Bashemen may be considered to be liquid, because it has all that oil in it. So, but maybe if it were truly, completely dry, then maybe it wouldn't have said that it would have been Mekadesh the dry. Well, he said, but look, I mean, even if it's mixed, there's obviously not a complete mixture such that every molecule of solet is going to be mixed with oil. And it's a gross mixing. And therefore, there's always going to be pieces that are yavesh. So you're telling me that the only thing that was kodesh in that mizrak were the very pieces of flour that were mixed with oil. But anything that wasn't mixed properly, if it was a little tiny piece of flour, then that wouldn't be kodesh. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. The whole thing has to be kodesh melayim. So that part, the yavesh sheba, was also kodesh, in which case, clearly it was makadesh, even that dry part. And you know what? Maybe your whole contention is wrong. That it's considered to be a liquid. I mean, if you compare the mizrak, a mizrak is meant for blood. Blood is liquid in the same way that a mincha mixed with shemen is liquid. I mean, relative to dam, you're not going to call that liquid. So if relative to dam it's not liquid, so then that means that it really doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be miyuchad for exactly the type of usage that you thought it needed to be. And therefore, if something for dam is mekadesh, a mincha that is mixed with oil, it would just as easily be mekadesh already, something that wasn't mixed with oil. And therefore, I say mincha legabe dam. Relative to dam, mincha mixed with oil is, for all intents and purposes, dry. They have to be whole in order to do the kiddusha, so that if they were broken, they won't work. They have to have the amount in them that was needed. So let's say it was isaron for mincha, shnei asonot la'ayel, if it's a mincha that's being brought, and so on and so forth. So it has to be what it is that you need to do the kiddusha on. And in mekachin ela mitochan, it would have to be the inside of the kli that was mekadesh, and not the outside. The Amri Lana, others said, no, that's not precisely what Shmuel said. Shmuel said, yeah, the first two things, yes. Ein mekachin ela shleimim, leim, that part is true. But he did not use the word mitochan. He used the word bifnim. Now Rashi understands that the meaning of bifnim would mean inside of the azara. Tosfos says that doesn't make any sense because the word that we used for inside the azara in the Mishnah is bakodesh. Why would Shmuel have changed the word that the Mishnah used? Therefore, says Tosfos, the difference between mitochan and mibifnim is if you made a container that was not bifnim. Namely, let's see, turn the kli over. And you use the bottom part as a container. If it doesn't have a hole, you dig it out and you make it something that contains. So that is called mitochan. It's not that you're trying to use the outside. You're using the inside, but it's not the inside that it was made for. So you'll have like a becher that has like a bottom, a base, which if you turned upside down, it's not that you can't put anything in it. It just wasn't made for that purpose. No, so that would not be called not mitochan, but it's not mibifnim. So that might be a difference. Okay, but in any event, there's a different lushan between these two, according to either of which, maybe nayu, the difference in the language, would be the difference of birutse midot. Ike binayo birutse midot. The question is whether overflow that now is on the edge, so it's being held in place. If it's liquid, it's being held in place by surface tension. If it's a solid, so then it simply is overflowing a little bit and it's on the lip. Now, the question is, do you mean to say that it has to be all the way on the inside? If you're saying it has to be on the inside, mitochan, then that doesn't include the lip, that's on the inside. But if, on the other hand, you're saying that the idea is that it has to be, according to Rashi, bifnim the azara, obviously has something to do with where it is in the kli, but even according to Tosafot, the bifnim would mean the part that is generally where you look at making the container area. And so that would be an afkamina. Bematnita tana, the way the Braita puts it, is actually four different tna'im. Ein mekachin ela a shleimim, b melaim, c mitochan, and also d mibifnim, in which case we could have all of these requirements. Omrabasi omar rabbi yochanan, we say that it's not mekadesh if it isn't full. That's only if there was no intent to make it full. So lo shenor la she'in da'ato lo'osif. But if he's in the process of getting together enough solet, let's say. So he puts in a half an Yisaron and goes back home now to bring another Yisaron. Then, since the putting in of the Yisaron into the Kli was an act of Kiddush Kli, because it's part of my putting in the Holy Yisaron, so then, of course, it would be Mekadosh each part as you would put it in. So, Da'atolos, if Rishon, Rishon, Kodesh, each part as you're pouring it in becomes Kodesh. Tanya Nami Ochi, and indeed we find in the Braita, that when we say, continues the Braita, so they have to be Mele'im. When we say Mele'im, so the Lashon of the Pasuk, Shnei Mele'im. Mele'im means that it has to be Shalem, meaning that what it is that you want to put in there. The Yisaron, or Shnei Asronim, or Shlosh Asronim, Soled, and the amount of Yayin, Lugin, of oil or of wine, has to be what's required. And there Rabbi Yossi explains, Eimatai, when do we say that that is an absolute requirement? Not that it has to have finished filling up, but rather it has to be part of an act of filling up. So in other words, Bizman She'in Da'atola Osiv, if you put in less than a shear, and what you put in is all that you're going to put in, then Einachinami, it doesn't fulfill the fill. There's no Shilaimim, right? But otherwise, you don't need for it to be fulfilled. You only need it to be filled. And then in the end, you will complete filling it up. And therefore, if Da'atola is Osiv, Rishon, Rishon is Kodesh. Well, normally, no. It's normally solid, but if it's for a particular carbon, if it's a minchas desachim, then it depends on the type of animal. And it's possible, of course, to be noder a mincha of any amount of esronim that you want.
So you don't have to bring a whole worth, but yet you have to...
Right, the kli doesn't have to be filled, literally. It has to be filled with the requisite shiur. That's how we're understanding mele'im. In kli halach, mekadesh, etayavesh, and so on. Omar Rav, v'teimer Rav Asi. Now, when we say ein kli mekadesh, this gets back to the question we had yesterday, and the difference between kiddush for psul, namely that you're not going to be able to be poda it once a kodesh, or you're not going to, or at this point it's going to be pasul if a tful yom touches it because that's kedushat aguf, so become tamei, or at this point it'll be pasul biyotze, whatever is nogea kedushat aguf. And then we had the other issue, whether if something could be kodesh li karev. In this case, we're not talking about pasul. This guy's talking about kosher, but kosher things too have two levels. So maybe if you would put in something that was lach into a kli yavesh, it's not kodesh to be put on the mizbeach, but it may be sufficient kedusha, which is the generic kedusha. Anything kodesh cannot be podui. Anything kodesh is going to be possible biyotze. Anything kodesh will be makabel tuma from a tfulyon. So and those things which require more than a generic kedusha, they require the kedusha of a specific type which allows them to be put on the mizbeach. There it makes sense to say that each thing is makadesh, specifically the things that were meant to be in it in order to be put on the mizbeach. But that doesn't change the fact that whatever is shared between the lach and the yavesh is in fact generic, and therefore, at least for that, any kli should be able to be makadesh anything. So in terms of making it pasul, so now if it's yotze, it'll be pasul, that it doesn't matter whether it was kadosh b'lach or b'yavesh. So therefore says either Rav or Rav Asi, when we say ein mekachin, it means ein mekachin li karev on the mizbeach. Aval mekachim li hipasel, it certainly will become possible that if it's going to be touched by tful yom, or it's going to be yotze, then definitely it will become a kodesh haguf. Now some say that Rav or Ravasi's statement of the difference between li karev and li pasel was not referring to the difference between the lach and yavesh of the kli, but rather was referring to the following din of ein mevi'in menachotu nesachim uminchat be'ima ubikurim, all of the various agricultural types of korbanot, which would be either straight out mincha or the nisachim or the minchas nisachim that was brought together with an animal, or bikurim, or any of the types of minachot, they cannot be brought from miduma. Now, normally, of course, we know what miduma means. Miduma is that it's mixed truma and a coolant. Now, the overall halacha that the agricultural product must have met all of the agricultural kashrus requirements is based on the pasuk in Yechezkel of Mimashkei Yisrael. Mimashkei Yisrael means whatever is brought on the Mizbeach to pour on the Mizbeach is something that could have been poured into your own mouth just as well. So it has to be kosher. Therefore, anything that you would not be able to eat, you can't bring on the Mizbeach. Because of that, Rashi takes Meduma literally. Meduma means to mix Chulin and Truma. The obvious question is that since Truma is anyway eaten by Kohanim, and that's who's going to be eating the Menachas, why is that not Mimashke Yisrael? The Kohen can eat it, it's perfectly kosher. I mean, just because the Yisrael is also the Truma, doesn't create a problem in Mashke Yisrael. Therefore, Tosfos learns that the use of Dimua in this case is not referring to Kohen, to Truma. It's referring to Dimua of things that would be usher to anybody. Mixtures, that is to say, of the following things which we're about to discuss, Orla, Kalei, Akerem, things that would be usher to anybody, agricultural issues that would be usher. You know, you saw the picture of the kashrus label on the wines they were sending out on the internet last week. That's adorable. So they had a translation. They took the kashrus, so they put it on wines that were being exported to America to say that it's kosher according to the Beis Din, and it has no problem with seventh year produce or with foreskins or with there goes the Israeli wine industry. Yeah.
Blood.
Exactly. Yeah.
So much for context.
Right. All right. So anyway, that's what we're talking about over here. When we, according to Tosfos, it's not truma. So you can't bring it min hameduma. Ve'in tzorich lomar from Isuri Hano, like Orla Kloy Akerem, or Tosfos would understand it from straight out Orla Kloy Akerem, not only mixtures of such. The im hevi lo kodesh, if you try to bring it with that, it wouldn't become kodesh. Aha! On this, now, according to this version, on this came along Rav Aritem Ravasi to say, when we say it's not kodesh, when you put it in a kli, it doesn't mean it's not kodesh at all. It will get the kedusha part that can make it usr. So it's kodesh li pasel, yes. In other words, you're not going to be able to be poted or anything like that. But it's just simply not kodesh li karev because it doesn't meet the requirements of korban. Tana Rabbanan, kli kodesh shenikvu. Let's say there was a hole that broke through one of these kli kodesh. The din is that ein metichinotan. You do not now add material around it to flow into the hole so that it becomes sealed. And this is because it looks different. It's not nice. We're not in a place in which we want to use hatch atoms. We want to use people. No, halo. And therefore, it doesn't meet the appropriateness of the level of aesthetics that are required in a Beis HaMikdash, in the level of respect of the Beis HaMikdash. And in mitichin l'tolchan avar, you're not allowed to put in lead into a drop, a piece of lead into the hole so that seals it. And if nivgamu, if in some way now there was a pegam in the kli, not a hole, you don't fix it. A knife that got a pegima in it. You don't fix the pegima. In mashchizin et pegimata, this leaves a mark, reduces the metal in that area. It's not nice. For that matter, even if nishmeta, even if it fell, the knife now fell out of its holder. Now you want to put it back in with some glue. You can't do that either. It never fits the same, never looks good. Ein machzirinota. Abishol says there was a case of a sakin mitarefet. It was very, the metal was soft, and it was easy to get pegimot, very, very, very tiny pegimot, which was not a problem to be too smooth. That's not hashkazah, that makes a difference in the metal. But they got rid of it, because nimno alakonim v'ganzua. They didn't want something that wasn't completely usable, would need constant hashgach on it, and so on. The Beis HaMikdash is a place where things are perfect.
You have to show them the Bible.
Yeah, this is a sharpening that leaves. You know, sometimes you have like an indentation where it was sharpened. That's what it means in mashchitz. Not that you can't keep a shechita knife sharp. Tana Rabbanan. Bigdei kehuna ein osimota maase machat el maase oreg. Getting on with the question of appropriateness. So first of all, the din that the Torah gives for bigdei kehuna is not to manufacture arms, sleeves, collars, and then sew the whole thing together in some patchwork fashion again. The Torah said to make it oreg, maase oreg. This isn't a pasuk, which means that it's all knitted as one piece. Nidgalu, and if it gets dirty, then well, what do you think this is? A bunch of paupers who get things cleaned? You make a new one. Lein mechapsim otam, we don't use lo beneter velo ba'ahal. We don't use various types of laundry detergent or buffering agents that are going to sit there and...
I can't send it to the dry cleaners?
Yeah, you can't send it to the dry cleaners.
Could be not helpful.
Yeah, you got to be very careful. Get a new bag. Maybe they were careful. Yeah? It's tough.
Part of the coveralls had carried on their shoulder.
They couldn't wear butcher's apron.
No, they couldn't. Well, no, things that didn't require wearing an aveda that were not needed to be done by big dekuna. Why would they wear big dekuna to get it dirty? Whatever isn't an aveda doesn't require big dekuna. Question: were they even allowed to wear big dekuna for things that don't require big dekuna? Remember, they were shotness and so on. That we're going to see later.
There's no
end
of meaning,
no.
Ever. When they change the clothes.
We'll see in a minute. We'll see. So you don't wash them with laundry detergent. What do you mean, don't wash them with laundry detergent? You mean you wash them with water? I understand water. If you wash them with water, so then that's better. That's not considered to be a derech aniyut b'makom ashirut. I mean, that's generally the klal that we say, ein aniyut b'makom ashirut. What are you going to take in a king's palace? You're going to start sitting there at spot cleaning things. It's bizyanas. Just get a new one. Can you imagine? Bill Gates is gonna get a shirt cleaned. I mean, gonna buy a new shirt. It's never the same getting it cleaned. You know, it's that new car feeling. What are you gonna do? Spray the new car? You buy a new car. And so it can't mean that. How could it mean that if it's with water, then it's okay, but with laundry detergent, man, that sounds crazy. Omer Abay. Well, that's not laundry detergent. That's magic. We're not talking about where you just wave a magic wand. Omer Abay Arjika Omer. That's not what it means. What it's referring to, the materials over here, is not referring using those materials. It's using the materials here as an indication of the extent at which it's dirty. That's what it means. Hugu means, we say nidgalu. It became dirty. If it became dirty to the point where you would use water, usually, to clean it. So then, okay, then you can clean it because it really isn't dirty. In other words, if I could just take a damp rag and I could clean it off, so fine, that's not really dirt. So then you can even wash it with laundry detergent and everything the way you should, of course. Then what it's saying is that once it would get so dirty that you couldn't wash it with water, then it's inappropriate to just send it to the cleaners. Now it's really dirty.
Stained.
Yeah, it's stained. Once it's stained, forget it. You know, get a new one. To hugo l'neter va'ahal. But once it's reached the stage of filth that requires these various detergents and cleaning agents, then af b'mayim ein mechapsim. You can't use water either. V'yesh omrim. Others say it has nothing to do with how dirty it is. It's inappropriate to be cleaning things. And ein mechapsim otam kol ikar she'in aniyut b'makom ashirut. We don't do any cleaning whatsoever in the Beit HaMikdash. It's insulting. Tod rabbanan. Getting on to the Me'il. Now, the Me'il was kulo shel tchelet, haya? As opposed to anything else, this was made entirely out of tchelet. And we know, of course, that there was that special area on the Shulei HaMe'il with the bells and the rimonim. And so that, there it says, beferish, that it was not kulo tchelet. There it mentions now the other colors. So there was a difference. It needed to have also argaman, tolad shani, with the Zahav. So how exactly did you do it? So the Me'il itself was kulo shel tchelet. Shenemar vayas et Me'il ha'efod kelil tchelet. Great parasha for us to have all this stuff. Shulav ketzer. How did you make the shulaim. How do you say shulaim in English again?
Behem.
Yes, thank you. Mevi techelet v'argaman v'tolat shani that have been spun together, and you make them like rimonim. Is it called rimonim in the pasuk? Shalot pitchu pien, rimonim that have never opened. In other words, they haven't ripened to the point where they split open, so they're not quite. What's that?
No.
Rashi learned shalot pitchu pien means not the bud stage, the complete fruit, but not the fruit that has matured completely, which then drops its skin or opens its skin. When you see very mature rimonim on the tree, they've already broken through the skin. That's how he understands the idea of pitchu pien, which is a strange explanation because it's not pien. We'll see. It's going to describe it now. Now, what this should look like is, if you take a look on a lance, the lance has on it a round holder, and that becomes now the way, of course, there's a hole to put your hand through it, but it's made like the equivalent of the broshei tinokot, like a pom-pom and a baby bonnet. So what they do is when they make... Rashi says there's toys. If you go to Toys R Us and the kids' helmets, when they use the armor, which is made really out of basket weave. So you put pom poms on it. Now you'll notice the relationship of pom pom to pomegranate, right? Because pom is really the apple. That's the company now that markets the pomegranate juice. It's Palm Wonder or something like that. Yeah, but it's a potato is an apple off the ground. So it's a
very,
yeah, the koranama, exactly. So here too, the pomegranate was like pom-poms. And therefore, what you do with it is you make something that looks like a pom-pom. That's what we're saying. So it's a full pomegranate. This is how Rashi understands the shalopatrupien. And now you're going to have to make these 72 of these bells, zagin, shem shivim v'shtayim in balim, that have the clappers now inside of them, and v'tola b'hen, or b'nehem, you put now these bells between the pamonim, so you have the rimonim, so you have pamon, rimon, and what you do, it doesn't mean inside the rimon, in other words, it means next to a pamon, and then a rimon, and then a pamon, a rimon, so that you've got, out of these 72, 36 on one side of the me'il and 36 on the other side of the me'il. Whereas Reb Dosa says in the name of Yudah, no, actually it was only 36 altogether. It was 18 mitzad zeh and 18 mitzad zeh. And alternated. You were talking about the pamonim as opposed to rimonim. They would alternate pamon verimon. Omar Rebbe Anini Bar Sason, you know, that's very interesting because the same achloket that we have over here about how many there were on the Me'il is remarkably the same achloket that we have as to how many Mar'ot Negaim there are, which is very interesting, as Tosis points out, because the Me'il is Mechaper on the Lashon Hara, which causes the Negaim. Now, when it comes to Negaim, we have a Mishnah in which Rabbi Dosa ben Urkanis said, Marot Negaim is 36, and Akavya ben Mahalalel Omer is 72. So it's exactly the same machloket as we have about the number of bells that we have on the Me'il. Now, how in the world you would possibly get to so many Marot Negaim, and what would be the difference? How could you have such an extreme difference of 36 to 72, for heaven's sakes? I mean, what we have is Arba Marot Negaim, right? And those Arba Marot Negaim can also have a Mar'eh that is Patuch. So in other words, you could have it mixed with the red, Adam Dam. So that turns it into 8. Now, those Negaim can be either in the Or HaAdam, or they can be in karachat or gabachat, which is bald spots, either bald areas on the scalp, either towards the front, towards the back, or they can be a netek in a place where hair is growing. Okay, so we have 8 marot negaim in 4 places, which is 32. Now we also have the yirakrak or adamdam of marot negaim in begadim, And we have Yirak Rako Adam Dam in Marot Negayim of Batim, which gives us another four, which is 36. So that part makes sense. But we get to 72, according to the Shita, because if we consider the fact that the Kohen has to be sensitive to changes in the Marot Negayim from the first time he sees them to after he comes back in the week of Hezger, in which the Mara of the Nega may indeed be within the overall level of intensity that would have initially turned it into a Nega, but he needs to be aware of the changes in those Negoyim. If a change in a Mara Nega is enough to be Matirid, even though it hasn't left the range of colors, then it would mean that each one of those Negoyim has two levels, one, the initial Psak, and two, the way in which you could have been Matirid when you come back after a week of Hezger. In which case, each one of these, he would have to be Boki in 72 different detailed colors or detailed levels of grayscale. So that requires a tremendous amount of sensitivity on the part of the one who's going to be Raya the Nega. But in any event, it's fascinating that that's true. Lagabi the Be'il itself, just it is by Negoyim. Sorry?
Yes,
one has nothing to do with the other than on some esoteric level, in which, as we're about to see, the same Gemara, that the Me'il on the Kohen Gadol serves as a kapara for Lashon Hara on the Tzibur level, and Memela, just as Lashon Hara on an individual level, causes Negaim, Zot Torat HaMitzora, Zot Torat HaMotzi Shemra, so too does the Me'il Mechapra on a Tzibur level, and so Memela puts them together. This is as the Tosis points out, or Vila Rabbeinu Tam points to the fact that the Gemara discusses both of these things right here. They must be related. But otherwise, it's a little silly what we're looking for every place 36 or 72. The Omar Rabbi Anidi Bar Sasson. Laman is mechap parshat korbanot l'parshat bigdei kuna. Why is it that we talk about these two things together? We're talking about the Zotorat Ola and Zotorat HaChatat and so on. And then it says, Kachat Aaron v'pishot abagadim. So it means the Torah sees the various Torot HaKorbanot as being related to the begodim that are going to be put onto Aaron. In what sense? Lomar lecha, ma korbanot mechaprim, af bigdei kuna mechaprim. To teach that there is a kapora that is involved in the bigdei kuna itself. So the ketonet. The ketonet clearly would have to be related to shvichut damim. Shemar v'yishketu si'irizim, v'yitbelu et haketonet badam. So then that means that they recognized the connection of ketonet to the shedding of blood. This fascinating Tosfos, where the Gemara goes through, we're going to see a little bit of it over here, but the Gemara goes through an erech in great detail, the relationship of the various levels of kaparas, where we have an egla rufa, that is a kapara clearly on a tzibur level. There's an egla rufa, and then there's the din of the chi of mis. Even if you bring an egla rufa, if you find out who the murderer was, obviously, they still have to carry out the din of misa. So the kapara has nothing to do with the fact that the individual was chai of misa for killing. But why do we get so many different levels? It's a very fascinating Tosfos who says that not necessarily is a kapara for the tzibur a kapara on Yisrael. There's two different issues. A tzibur is a local gathering, more of an ethnic group than the essence of Yisrael is.
So the kapara is achieved for them, but not
it depends which thing. He goes through which, you know, that you'd have to see the detail, but he suggests that it could be that we have three levels of kapara. We have the individual kapara. Then we have this idea of the city, the local city requiring the kapara. And then we have the idea of Klal Yisrael, Kaper Le'amcha Yisrael, requiring a kapara. And maybe that's different. So that one has to do with the nature of Klal, the general concept of Yisrael, which does not mean, I can't stress often enough, Klal Yisrael does not mean the overall population of Yisrael. It means the general concept of, like the word Klal always means. And then you have the Tzibur, which has to do with the local people alive at this local point in time and space. Was that? Yes, it really, that's exactly it. The Gemara contrasts Egla Rufa to the idea of the Horug, and the Horeg himself, but that doesn't address this additional level. So Tosfos wants to be Mechadish. There's other levels of kapara that's required. Anyway, getting back to the various types of begadim, so the michnasayim, it makes sense that pants would be mechaper on having your pants down at the wrong time. So it's mechaper on gilui arayot. Shemar vatzel a michnasay bad lechasot besar erava. Mitznefet is mechaper on stuck-up people. Gasei haruach. Makes sense, yeah. Because what you put, where do we know it from, Inayin? Omer Reb Chanina. Well, I mean, it's the thing you put on top of your head, you know. So if you're stuck up, maybe that's where you wear something on the top of your head. Yechaper al gova, it's from being too high and mighty, as we say in English. The avnet is mechaper al hirhur halev. For hirhurim, the avnet is echadite. That's where the avnet is worn. So it makes sense that it has to do with the leif, al ha-leif, al-leif aron. Choshen mishpat. Well, the choshen would then be mechaper on mishpat, al-adinim. So where you have the Supreme Court of Israel, God help us. So needing this kapora, so then, I mean, I wouldn't include that, but the choshen... The ephod would the choshen would indeed be the kapor. This is vasita choshen mishpat. The ephod is mechaper on avodat kochavim. Where do we see that? Shinamar ein ephod utrafim. If there's no ephod, then the trafim start coming out and are midgale. The me'il is mechaper on lashon hara. And this is, of course, what the Rabbi Natan is referring to. Is this gemara? So we see the me'il is indeed parallel to the number of marot negaim. Amr Reb Chanina, why is that? Minayin? Yavo davar shebekol v'yachaper al kol hara. The me'il is meant to make this chattering noise of bells ringing. And that's basically the constant background chatter of devil's radio, as the Beatles put it, which is the constant lashon hara in the background of our life. Yeah. Tzitz. The tzitz is mechaper on azut panim, on chutzpah. Because by the tzitz, it says, where do you put the tzitz? Al meitzach Aharon. And azut panim is always called the brazenness of the forehead. Meitzach isha zona hayalacha. Well, wait a minute. I thought we have a different makor from that, ain't he? Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, shnei dvarim lo matzino lem kapara bekorbanot. There are two things which we did not find a korban to bring on, but we do find korbanot, and not korbanot, but kapara from some other source. Matzino lo kapara mimakom acher. What's that? Shvichut damim lo shanara. So shvichut damim is the egla rufa. The lashon hara is the ktoret. How do I know the ktoret is mechaper on the lashon hara? The toni Rav Chananya minayin lektoret shebechaperet. How do we know that ktoret is a kapora? Because it says vaytena taktoret v'aychaper ala am. But it doesn't say on what it's mechaper. Toni Rav Yishmol. What is it mechaper? Am ktoret mechaperet alashon hara. Why? Yavo davar shebechashai. The ktoret has to be brought secretly, so nobody's allowed to be there. Okay, then that's mechaper al maaseh chashai. That's what people do when they're alone. Blah, 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 blah. Whisper, whisper. So that's the point. It should be mechaper on the whisperings that take place beneath the surface. Not mechaper, meratzeh. That's a different issue. So now, kashi lashon hara. Yavo davar shebechashai v'chaper al maaseh chashai. So kashi lashon hara, lashon hara. So which one is it? I think you said the me'il. Is mechaper and lashon hara. Now you're saying that it's the ketores that's mechaper and lashon hara. And kashvichas domer shvitam. You said that the ketonet was mechaper and lashon hara. Now you're saying negla rufa is on shvichas domi. Now you're saying negla rufa is being mechaper. Well, that's not so bad because I mean, look, shvichas domi lo kasha. Hodi yadia man de katle. I mean, if you know who the murderer was. Well, no. We'll talk about that in a moment. If you know who the murderer was, then you don't bring an egla rufa. So then where's the kapara come from? Kapara comes from the ketonet. Adeloya diaman katle. So then where's the kapara come from? It comes from the egla rufa. What do you mean? If you know who did it, so kill him. India diaman katle bar ketolol. What do you mean? What good is the ketonet to be mechaper if you don't do what you have to do? V'la'aretz lo yechupar. It says on the contrary, there is no kapara ki'im bedam shofcho. You have to kill the guy. So what do you tell me? I can instead make sure that a kohen puts on the ketonet. That's ridiculous.
And the individual will then get the kapara?
No. Says the Gemara, one is where we don't know. One is where we know we can kill him because he got hatra'ah. There you need to kill him. Here we're talking about b'mezid, but nobody gave him hatra'ah. So therefore, we can't use Zegah Arufa. We're unable to be Yotzei Archiev, to rid the earth of shedders of blood. And therefore, the Torah gives another kapora for Klal Yisrael, which is the kapora of the Ketonet. And now it's here that Tosfos has problems because of the Seira Mishtaleach and Yom HaKippurim, which is also a kapora on Klal Yisrael. And here's where he makes his suggestion that there are different levels. Because there the Gemara says that the question is whether the Seira Mishtaleach would be mechaper for someone where we know who killed him, we can't. Right? So it brings a raya that it doesn't. Tosfos says you don't need a raya, we've already covered it. Must be that there are different levels that the Gemara is discussing. That's his suggestion. And okay, and what about the question of Lashon Hara? Which one is it? Is it the Ketoret or is it the Me'il? Says the Gemara, well, there's different types of Lashon Hara. There's the devil's radio Lashon Hara, which is gossip, and which, you know, everybody's talking about it. If everybody's talking about it, that's the din of the Me'il. If it's the secret Depka files, you know, so then it's a Davar Shebechashai. And then a Davar Shebechashai, that would be Betzina, that would require the Ketoret, which is Bar Betzina. So Lokasha Ha Betzina Ha Befar Hesya.
Hadron Alecha.
Hadron Alech, HaMizbeach Mekadesh.
Li Neder, Fangton Vahelik Perez.
Kol hatadir michavero. Whoever comes more often to daf yomi, kodem et chavero. He comes in the door first, and we'll talk about this tomorrow. Klei alach mekachin et alach midot yavesh mekachot et hayavesh. Ein klei alach mekadesh et hayavesh, v'lo yavesh mekadesh et alach. Klei hakodesh shenikbu. Im osim ve'emeim elaktan shayosim ve'em shlemim, they are continued to be mekachin. V'im lav ein mekachin, v'chulan ein mekachin ela b'kodesh. Amar Shmuel Oshanu ela midot, but mizrkot, that don't have any measurement, they are mekachim. And it says beferish, that you have both the mizrak echad kesev, and shneihem mileim solet, even though mizrak is a lach. Amalei ravach medivtul ravina, that doesn't prove anything. A mincha is mixed with oil, and therefore you could view it as being lachai. Amalei la nitzra ela liyavesh sheba. Ibaiteima, it's relative. Mincha lagabi dam is the equivalent of yavesh. Omar shmo, klei sharet, ein mekachin ela shilemim, ein mekachin ela meleim, vein mekachin ela mitochan. V'amila, ein mekachin ela shilemim, yes, meleim, yes. But not mitocha, rather be bifnim. Machlokas Rashi tells us what that means, bifnim the azarar, it means bifnim the inside of the kli, as opposed to the toch, which could be made on the outside by using it upside down or hollowing it out. My binayu, iki binayu birut se midot. Bibat nidatan in vakachin ela shleimim, umileim, umitochan, umibifnim. That they require a complete shi'ur, because malayim doesn't mean they have to come up to the top. Malayim means it has the amount that is required. So lo shonu lo she'in da'ato lo osif, avo da'ato lo osif, then rishon is kodesh. Tanya nami hachi, malayim, what malayim means is shilemim, not shilemim in the kli. Neither shilemim in the sense of not being broken, nor shalem in the sense of being full, but rather shalem in the sense of having the full shiur. Omer Rav Yossi ematai bezman she'in da'ato lo'osif, aval da'ato lo'osif, rishon kodesh. Ein klei alach mekadei, shama ravi teima Rav Asi. Ein mekachin means li karev, aval mekachim li pasel, therefore it will become possible with a tful yom, or with yotze, and won't be able to be nifta, and so on. Ikedematin la aha, ein bevi menachot nesachim imutchat beimah bikurim min amiduma, which means either truma, as it usually does according to Rashi, or mixtures of yisurei hana according to Tosfos. Vein tzorach lomar mior lavo klay akerim vimevi lo kidash, to which in this version Ravi Temer Vazi said, when you say lo kidash, it means lo kidash li karev, but certainly it would be kidash li pasel. Tana rabbanan. Kli kodesh shenikvu, ein matichin otan, ein matichin otoch hanavar, nivgamu, ein metaknim otan. Sakin shenivgam, ein mashchizinet begibanta, nishmeta, ein machzirin otan. אבא שאול אומר, סכין מטרפת הייתה במקדש, ונמנו עליה כהנים וגנזוה. תנו רבונה, בגדי כהונה אינו עושים אותם מעשה מחת, אלא מעשה הורג, שנאמר מעשה הורג. נתגעלו אם מחפשים לא בנטר ולא באהל. What do you mean? במה הם מחפשים? אומר רבי, no, it's not referring to the material. It's referring to the amount of dirt. It means, הוגי כאמר, הוגעו to the point where you could use water to wash it off. So then, מחפשים אותם. Of course, מחפשים אותם the way you normally would, בנטר ואהל. But once it was הוגעו לנטר ואהל, then you can't wash them at all, even במים. ויש אומרים, אם מחפשים אותם כל עיקר, שאין עניות במקום השירות. תנא רבנן, מעיל כולו של תחילת היה, שם ויעש את מעיל העיפות כליל תחילת, שולב כיצד, מביא תחילת וארגמן ותולעת שני שזורים, ועושה אותן כמין רימונים שלא פיתחו פיין, וכמין קונאות של כנסות שבראשי תינוקות, ומביא 72 זגין, שבהם 72 ענבלים, ותולה בהם 36 בצד זה, ו36 בצד זה. רבי דוס אומר משום רבי יהודה, 36 היו, 18 מצד זה, 18 מצד זה, אומר רבנני בר ססון, remarkably, כמחלוקת כאן כך מחלוקת במערות נגעים, which are directly related to the מגיל. תצנן מערות נגעים, רבי דוס בן אורקניס אומר 36, עקביה בן מהלל אומר 72, ואומר רבנני בר ססון, למה נסמכה פרשת קורבנות לפרשת בגדי כהונה? לומר לך, מה הקורבנות מחפרים, אף בגדי כהונה מחפרים. כתונת מחפרת על שפיכותם, שנאמר, וישחטו שעיריזם ויתבלו את הכתונת בדם. מכנסיים מחפרת על גילוי עריות, שנאמר, ויעשו להם מכנסי בד, לכסות בשר רבה. מצנפת מחפרת על כסי הרוח. מניין, אומר רבי חנין, יעבוד דבר שבגובה, ויחפר על העין מיידי. אבנית מחפר על עירור הלב, איך דהית? חושן מחפר על דינים, שנאמר ועשית חושן, משפט. איפוד מחפר על עבודת כוכבים, שנאמר אין איפוד וטרפים. מעיל מחפר על השנה הרע מניין, אומר בחנינה, יבוא דבר שבכל, ויחפר על כל הרע. וציץ מחפר על עזות פנים, בציץ כתיב היה מצח אהרון, ובעזות פנים כתיבו מצח אישה זונה היה לך. איני ואומר רבי יהושע בן לוי שני דברים לא מצינו להם כפרה בקורבנות, ומצינו להם כפרה ממקום אחר, ואלוהים, שפיכות דמים ולשון הרע, שפיכות דמים מעגלה ערופה, nothing about a קטונת, ולשון הרע מקטורת, nothing about a מעיל. דתורים רבי חנניה, מניין לקטורת שמחפרת שמה, ייתן את הקטורת והחפר על העם, ותוני דבר רבי ישמעאל, על מה הקטורת מחפרת? על לשון הרע, יבוא דבר שבחשאי, ויחפר על מעשי חשאי. So now, כאשר לשון הרע, לשון הרע, כאשר שפיכות דמים, השפיכות דמים. So, לא כאשר, עד ידיע מן דקטלי, עוד לא ידיע מן קטלי, where you can bring נגל הרופה. ידיע מן קטלי. So then you have to bring him to בסדן and kill him, otherwise, לא יחופר. So how could we possibly say קטונת would be מחפר? Well, במזד ולא התרופה. ולשון הרע, לשון הרע, נמי לא כאשר, הבצין, הבפרהסיה.
The following is the doubt from the previous Daf Yomi cycle.
Maybe your Titanic is on the right page.
What? Oh, Titanic. Oh, great. Was this mine?
We're holding on that page, Ches Amud Aleph. That's a new one.
Easier than Zot.
We're continuing on basically from the closing of the Mishnah Kodemet. The truth is, it makes more sense in terms of the organization. Obviously, the people that are Matris the Shas would be something here. The Mishnah here is a continuation of the words that say, "Bishem Shem Mizbeach Vakevish Mekachin Etaroilem Kacha Kelim Mekachin." And now it's going to explain which Kelim are Mekachin. Klei Halach from Mekachim Et Halach, Umidot Yavesh Mekachot Et Hayavesh. Things that are made for liquids, those are miyuchet for liquids, and therefore they're mekadesh
that which is ro'i for them. The same way that we found there was a sense of ro'i by the Mizbeach, we find ro'i by the Kelim. And so a liquid kli is mekadesh a liquid. Midot yavesh, mekadshot et hayavesh. Masha'in kein, those things that were made for measuring yavesh, because we had a nisaron, and a chatzi nisaron in the Beis HaMikdash, they are mekadesh et hayavesh. Each thing is mekadesh that which it was miyuchad for. Now the question over here is, why is it that we change the language? And when it comes to the lach, we call them kelim, thank you very much. When it comes to the yavesh, we call them midot. So Rashi says that when it comes to the yavesh, we only had really midot. There were only two things that were miyuchad uniquely for yavesh, which was the yisorim and the chatzi yisorim. And anything else really that could be used for yavesh were just as useful for lach. So we could use karot, mizrakot, and so on. They're also useful for lach. Memela, when it comes to lach, we say kelim. When it comes to yavesh, we say midos. Tosus doesn't like that, because he points out that there are many things that indeed are miyuchid for yavesh, not useful for lach, and that are not midot, such as the machseshet. I mean, you can't exactly chop up lach. And then that's meant only for yavesh. Or how about the shovels? Or how about the mat of the kleiros? And all of those things you can call yavesh and they're not midos. The Rabbeinu Tam has the most astonishingly new way of looking at this. It's just amazing to me. He says like this: a mida has to be able to measure something in an absolute way. So in other words, it needs to have something that you then can compare within the same set. Yavesh, you can call it a mida, because every mida of yavesh can be either filled completely, but only completely, or you can have it mole, gadush. So we have midot gadushot. And you can call it different things. In other words, this is an isaron gadusha, this is an isaron shlema, this is an isaron chaser. So within, there's ways of measuring something within its set. Lach, he points out, that everything has a different specific density. So you're not really measuring in the same world. You're going to measure a liter of water, and you're measuring a liter of wine. I mean, what's the similarity between them? We can't just measure volume. Unbelievable. So therefore, you can't call them midos. What is it? Midos. Not really midos. So therefore you have to call them Kalim. It's like unbelievable.
Well, that's about like dry beans and flour, they also have different
dimensions. Yes, but you can measure each single thing between itself. Is it good or should it be? Okay. What an amazing approach. Anyway, so that's rubbing it down for
you.
In different specific densities. It weighs a liter of wine doesn't weigh the same thing as a liter of water.
Because
you
can weigh between themselves the different things. Why can't you compare
between
themselves oil and oil, wine and wine?
Because it's only the same. It's not a mida. It's always the same. You can't overfill it. You can't have a mida overfilled of water.
I guess I don't see the difference between that and the other thing.
Every mida has to be able to be used in and of itself, he's saying. So if the mida is overfilled, you call it a mida gedusha. If it's flat, you call it flat. But you can't do that with a liquid.
Okay.
So therefore, it's not a meter.
So why are all the liquids?
Okay. That's okay. Anyway, that's another amazing approach. Okay, but that's an aside. Ein klei halach mekadeshot et hayavesh, v'lo hayavesh mekadesh et halach. So each one can only be mekadesh for that which is usable for. Klei hakodesh shenikvu, if you make off, if there was a hole that appears in a clay kodesh, imosin ben melach tansha yuosin ben shlemim, if they could still perform the same thing that they did when they were complete, then they would still be mekadesh. V'imlav ein mekadesh, but if they're no longer usable the way they were, so as the type of thing that they would be used for can no longer be used in it, all it's too big to use it for that purpose, then ein mekadeshin any longer. They can only be mekadesh while they are in the Azor. Omar Shmuel, Loshanu Ela Midot. What we say over here, that klei halach are mikachin, only lach, and not yavesh, that's dafka, those things that were used for measuring lach, avo mizrakot, because those things are meant for a specific purpose, namely measurement. Avo mizrakot mikachin. But let's say if you have a mizrak, a dam, that could be mikadesh, flour. I'll prove with you from the Torah. It says, Mizrak echad kesef, shneihem meleim soleh. So that means that they used a Mizrak in the gift of the Nisiyah, and it was filled with soleh. Soleh is yavish. So apparently, a clay halach is a mekadesh yavish.
Mizrak had a specific size only?
No, it wasn't a specific size. That's the point. If it was meant for a specific size, then in Okinawa, it's mekadesh only that size. And we'll see, not only that, it's mekadesh not only the substance, it's mekadesh only the size of the substance that it was made for. If it's going to be chaser, it won't be mekadesh. That's its purpose. So it was legabe that it was mashuach originally and that we made it. But a mizrach can be used for anything. How do you prove it from there? When it says shnei melayim solet, it didn't mean raw flour. That was a mincha. It means a mincha solet. A mincha solet is not dry. I mean, it's mixed with shemen. It's a lacha. Omar lay, so he said, true. But lo nitzcha ela liyaveh shabbat. You know that when you mix a mincha, you never have a perfect mixture. There's always a little bit of flour that isn't in solution. So that part is still mekudesh, because it says malayim solet. So apparently it can be mekudesh, even that part which is dry. Or, yibay seima, we could also say that it's relative to dam. In other words, a mizrak is called a mizrak because it's used for zrika. So it's basically for dam. If nonetheless it's mekadesh a mincha relative to dam is dry. So if that's the case, apparently it doesn't need to be mekadesh dam for what you would think it's miyukin for. It can be used for anything. In the same way, you can use it to be mekadesh a mincha. You can use it to be mekadesh dry flour too. Omar Shmuel. Klei sharet in mekachin ela shleimim. You should know, says Shmuel, that a kli sharet can only be mekadesh when it is whole, not if it is broken or has a hole in it. And what's more, a mekachin ela meleim, they have to be filled with the shi'ur that they were meant to be filled with. So in other words, if it's a clay, if it's a midas hayavish that was meant to measure an isaron, you can't put in there a isaron minus 10%. It has to be an isaron shalem. Vein mekachim ela mitochan, and furthermore, it's only the inside of the kli that would be mekadesh. Va'amila, others say this in a different way. Ein mekachim ela shleimim meleim, but instead of the word mitochan, they say mibifnim. And mibifnim, according to Rashi, means mibifnim, meaning in the Azara, like the Mishnah says. My beinayu, the difference between the two lishonos is whether there has to be betochan. The difference would be birutse midot. Let's say you fill it up and it goes above the edge. If you hold it has to be dafka mitochan, then what's above isn't mitochan. If you say no, it only needs to be bifnim azara, it doesn't need to be betoch the kli, then it would be mekadesh, the would say midos, even the part that's not literally contained within the kli. B'masni satana, in mekachin ala shleimim, meleim, mitochan, u'mibifnim. So that you need, of course, the mibifnim is not an alternative to mitochan, this makes it clear, which is why Rashi's pshat, because it was makabal, this pshat, is that the bifnim doesn't mean inside the kli. The bifnim means inside the azara. The tochan means inside the kli. So in the you could say both. Om Rebasi, Om Reb Yochanan. Lo shanu ela she'in da'ato lohosi. This limitation, that it will only be makadish when it has the full shiur of the amount in it, is dafka when you put in something that wasn't a shiur and you had no intention of filling it up. But if you're in the process of pouring, you took a bag of the sour, you ran out of flour. Now it's half filled. You're going to take another bag and continue to fill it up. What's in there is already kadosh. Because your intent was that this would be an act of the medida seisar. And in the mela, all that is in it is already kadosh b'kli. Avodat tolo, see, rishon kadosh. If your intent was to continue measuring your shiur shalem, then whatever you put in is kedush right away. Tanya nami yachi, mele'in, ein mele'in, ela shalemim. When it says over here, mele'im, shnehem mele'im, it means that it has to be shalem. This doesn't mean shalem in the way that the kli has to be shalem, the way we used it before. It means that the shiur has to be shalem, obviously, in context. And that is where Rabbi Yossi said his statement, Omer Rabbi Yossi. And this is exactly as Rabbi Yochanan said before, and here we find it in a brisa. When do we say that it has to be shalem, the shiur shalem, dafka, where he didn't mean to add to it?
What's the difference between the two? It's the same thing. Yeah,
one is a brisa now, backing up Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, we didn't know before, you know, the drasha malayim, but I mean, as far as this issue is concerned, the same thing. In kli halach mikadesh, and then it says that neither of them can be mikadesh, the other is in mashma, and it doesn't have any effect on it at all. Says Rav, or says Rav Ati, says, that doesn't mean it doesn't have any effect. It means, in mikaching likareb. They're not yet right to be put on the Mizbeach, but mikaching lipasel. Certainly, there are kodesh enough now that you cannot be poda it, and now you'd have to, if something went wrong with it, you'd have to burn it, because it is still considered to be kedushas akli. It's not yet roi for the kedushas on Mizbeach, is all that it needs, and now it will be possible, the yotzi and the tfuyom, and so on, as Rashi explained earlier. Some say this mimer of Rav and Rav Asi, when we say, well, it's not Kodesh for good things, but it's Kodesh for bad, was said on the following, not on this, but rather on the following brisa. You're not allowed to bring the mincha and the sakim and so on from even mixtures with truma. No, kohen would be allowed to eat them. But since we darshan the posek in Yecheskel, mimashke Yisrael, you have to bring something that a Yisrael, any Yisrael, would be able to eat. If it isn't kosher for Yisrael, it's not kosher for Mizbeach. So even though a kohen can eat it, it's not called mashke Yisrael. That's how Rashi learns. Meduma means, like it always means, meduma with truma. Koshikain, you can't bring orlikli akerim, which is otzer afilu lekerim, v'im hevi lo kodesh. If you brought it, so it wouldn't become kodesh. And on this, the other lashon has that this is where Rav and Rav Asi said that when we say lo kodesh, we don't mean it's not kodesh at all. We mean it's not kodesh to be brought in mizbeach, lo kodesh lekarev. Avo kodesh li pasel. Certainly, it's kodesh in terms of now having kedushas kli on it, and you can't be voted any longer. Tana Rabbanan, kli kodesh nikbu in matichinota. So you get a hole in one of them is rough. Now, what you could do is you take a blowtorch, and you could soften the area around the hole, and melts into the hole, and now it's all fine again. Can't do that. They make a tulchan aver, nor can you take a little bit of solder and melt it into the hole. Can't do that either. Nivgamu, if they got bent or whatever, ain't metaknimotan. You don't fix it. Sakin shenivga, if you have even a knife that has a pagima, and now this does not refer to a pagima, bagabe shchita, a tiny little pagima. It means a pagima that would be nikar if you now went ahead and sharpened it, so there would be now a depression in the knife. Ein mashkizin et pegimata, you don't now, how do you say mashkizin in English? No, when you rub it with a stone, what's that called now?
Burn.
Mm-hmm. Alright, so you don't do a hashkaza that leaves a mark on the knife. Nishmata, for that matter, even if the handle and the blade separated, in Mazzarino time, don't stick the blade back into the handle.
Can't file it.
Sorry?
Can't file it.
File, maybe it's called.
Grind.
Yeah, grinding it, filing it. Yeah. Good. So the reason for all of this is, in aniyut b'makom hashirut. In the Beis Hamikdash, we don't go around being bedaktig, zikduke aminas, you know, fix a little thing here, throw it away, take a new one. It's a disposable world when it comes to Beis Hamikdash. The truth is that if it's a hefsed merubah, I mean, as we saw earlier, say if we have a urea shenafa, a worm that eats up a little bit of the urea, you are misaking it. I mean, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars loss, and the tikkun is not noticeable because you simply reweave it. That will do. For that matter, we'll remelt, we'll take the material, we'll melt it down, and we'll make new kelim, but we don't fix things. Abishol omer, sakin mitarepet hayta b'migdash. There was this knife that was soft, and very often got pegimos in it, and it used to cause trachis. But instead of using it for some other usage, instead of a chalav, nimnu alea kohanim v'ganzuha. They hid it away instead of using it for something else.
What so, particular knife?
A particular knife that the metal apparently was too soft. There's a lot of discussion about this. I mean, because what's the problem? Why did they have to be going? They said if we're able to be metir. Or what would be the problem of using it for something else?
Why did they bring the second class?
Not second class. Put it back into the metal pile, melt it down, and remake it. I mean, Rambam says all of the kelim that were ruined were melted down and were rebuilt.
And you want to spread soft metal into the rest of the
business? Possibly. Or, I mean, some of the diet that something that's miyukut for a particular use, that it's still useful for that use, you just don't want to use it. Because, so then it's not right already to be. Right, but there's different approaches.
Clay and Mishkan were made in the Mishkan and they
haven't had
a...
I'm sorry?
Clay and Mishkan were made in the Mishkan and had a...
No. Tan Rabbanan. Be'egdei kuhuna. Eino simotam ma'aseh machat elo ma'aseh oreg. Shinyana ma'aseh oreg. You don't make the be'egdei kuhuna the way you manufacture shirts today in little pieces and you sew them together. They have to be actually woven in shape. Like we knit sweaters and something, and I might say, oh, right. Nidgalu, if they get dirty. In mechapsim otam, you don't wash them. You throw them out. Lo b'neter v'lo ba'al, you don't use nitrates or other kind of cleaning materials. What is that supposed to mean? Habamayim b'chadwayim, but you do use water. Well, we're using water. I mean, what, first of all, I mean, if the point over here is ena niyut b'makom ha'shimut, so what are you cleaning them for? And if the point is that you want it, they need to be perfectly clean. I mean, if you can't dry clean them, you certainly can't wash them and expect them to get clean. So what's the, what are you saying? You don't use natter v'ahal.
They're always washing the clothes after...
That's a Yisrael, not the big kuhuna.
Not the big
kuhuna. Omer Abaye hafi klamah. Hugu lamayim mechapsim otam b'neter v'ahal. What it means is if it gets a little stain on it that normally you would take off a little bit of water. So then you could take off that stain with real cleansers. That way it'll be perfectly clean. But if it got so dirty that you would normally need to use cleaning fluid on it, neter v'ahal, then you can't clean it at all. Recycle it, huh? Bad news. This is an expensive business.
It was great in the weaving industry. Change their shirts.
Apparently, you can learn to take care of yourself.
How do you do that? Would you wear a plastic apron?
Yeah, remember that the shkito over there was the Dana Tabonga.
Wasn't like today where they have a thing hanging by a leg and then it spritzes all over.
Okay, but David, you don't think it's like...
You never see those things on a dog that they don't scratch their ear. Maybe you can put that on there.
When the Raya was working on trying to make the big day cool, this was his problem. He found a loom that you could
make, you could make those shapes with.
Like they don't do it anymore. He found it outside.
Really?
Like, yeah. They'll do that. And he makes a whole bacon on them.
So maybe who
take it off.
Wow.
He knows. He takes
really? We're here?
The Shia country could be very wealthy.
You could make a shape too. If you do it like on a room, certainly make the shape of the, you know, of the bag. I'm sure that's how they do it.
It can't be easy, right? I mean, it's a circular kind of loom over there.
Yeah, but sweater machine, aren't sweaters knits?
Well, the
completely different.
But isn't
that
like,
what you said? It's not, yeah, these are both. Knit, knit
is
not for it.
Yeah.
They make both sides of the loop, implying that they make both sides all the way around.
Yeah,
the whole thing
is. I don't know. He says there's a loom in Australia that does it. Yeah. Okay.
But
there's
no seams in your clothes.
No seams.
It's unseemly.
Is that in all of them or just the specific one? Where like every bag of this?
It's always that, yeah. All of them. Turn around, Bonnie. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. The Yeshomrim, Ein Bechapsim Otam Koli. There are others learn even a small stain you don't wash. She'ein Aniyut Bebekom Hashivut. You know, whoever is such a thing. What, a rich guy is going to go and give his shirts to the cleaners? What, are you crazy? Buy a new shirt. I mean, what do you need a cleaner shirt? Turn around, Bonnie. Meir kulo shotchei latzai. I mean, you must admit it definitely makes quite an impression. Meir kulo shotchei latzai. The meir was made entirely of tchelas. Shema vayazes meir ha'efot kulo klil tchelas. Shulav ketzad. How did you make out? But the shulayim of the meir, which was made, it says beferish tchelas ha'aman v'ashanim v'de'amonim v'rimonim. How did you make that? Hayamevit cheles yargaman v'tolat shani shizurim v'oseh otam kemin rimonim shalot pitchu pihen. You weave these into closed rimonim that have not yet split open. Uchemin kona ocho kenasot shebroshet tinokot, or the way that they make those furrows in helmets that kids wear. Rashi uses the word helmets actually. So, you know, bicycle helmets type of thing, which is closed.
Where's the furrow?
No, the modern word for konas is would be a furrow, but what it really means is it's hollowed out. They didn't have a word for saying a rounded, basically saying it's a ball, you know, but built with a hollow inside. So this is saying that they made them like the kanasot, that's the closest thing. We have something that's round, but you're supposed to put it on your head. Like a baby helmet. Umevi shivim v'shnayim zagim. And you bring now 72 bells. Shebehem shivim v'shnayim inbalim. Inside of which are 72 clappers. V'tolebehem shloshim v'shisha berba. Shloshim v'shisha b'tzadzeh. And you put now 36 on one side, 36 on the other side, and this is, of course, I mean, there's machlokas here, but in Rashi Pshat always is between the between the rimonim, not in the rimonim. So when it says that, yeah, when it says that we have a tolim bo, that's the difference in the two souls. Tolat bahen would be inside. And this would mean, and this is tolet bein, a bow on the me'il between the rimonim.
How do we make a noise?
You're
supposed to make a noise
when
the coin walks.
Yeah, why not? It has a clapper.
But the clapper wasn't inside.
No, not inside the rimon, inside the
pahamon. Oh. Why did you think there were 72 involved in each one?
72
involved in each
step. No, total 72. One per bell.
Why do you think that's all one piece with no seams? Shouldn't it be
It doesn't have to be a tube. It can be separated. The Rebbe does some Rebbe from Rebbe Yehuda Shloshim Rishisha. No. It's a total of 36, not 36 on each side. Said there were 18 on one side and 18 on the other side. Shmonasre Mitzvot. Zev Shmonasre Mitzvot. Omer Rebbe Anini Bar Sason. Here Machloket Kan. Kach Machloket B'Marot Negayim. The same Machloket that we have here about whether it's 36 and 36, 72, or whether it's 36. Is the same Machlokes that we have by Maros Negaim. Ditznan Marot Negaim, Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkan is Omer Shloshim Veshesh, and Akavya ben Maalala Omer Shivim Veshnai. Now, Tosus points out the amazing thing that the Machlokes is dependent on the same issues, clearly, because both Maros Negaim and the Me'il are Mechapram Lashon Hara. So it can't be a coincidence that in both cases we have two approaches as to the number of maros or the number of bells that there are. It has to be nagia the way in which it works. So in other words, we're just seeing some external manifestations of whatever it's supposed to mean, but obviously there's a real machlokas here about the nature of the kapora of these things. The Yom Rebbe Inini Bar Sason. Lama nismecha parashat korbanot, the parashat bigdei kuna. Why is it that we find in Sav a very strange progression, that we go from the various karbonas that we're supposed to do, you know, Zotarat HaOlam, and then we do the Chatas, the Yoshim, the Zavach HaShlomim, and then all of a sudden we say Halbesh et HaHonet HaPagadim. What does one have to do with the other? Ah, it's to tell me Ma Korbanot Mechaprim Apik Dekuna Mechaprim. Each one of the Big Day Kahuna is a kapara. It's a kapara not on someone who does the sin, as Tosis explains, but it's a kapara on Yisroel for the sin having been performed. So in other words, it's the interrelationship of Yisroel as a whole to the sin. So it's not broad in the Gidrei HaKapara, which it has to do with the individual's kapara. So they're mechaper. The Kseides is mechaper on Shvichas Dami. Later on, the Gemara is going to ask what particular circumstances. Shinema bayishchetu si'irizim vayitbelu ataktonet badam. So apparently tvila, as Rashi points out, tvila is always a remes to kapora. Bifnei mi'atem b'tayarim and so on. Right? That's the lashon of you will be teval in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So clearly if they were teval, the ktonet badam, it must mean that the way to be mechaper on the dam is through the ktonet, v'asi lava. Michnasayim, Michaparat Argimui Arayot, Shenema Vasitla Michnasay Bad, Lechasot, the Sarah Vasa, Lechasot, is Lashon of Kisui Chata'a. So here too, it's Mechasa on the Chait of Gimui Arayot. Mitznefet is Mechapar Gase Arua. That's Mechapar for Gaiva. How do we know that? Minayin Omer Vichanina Yavo Davar Shebegova, Vichaper Al Gova. And it's something that sits there on top of you, and it's an expression of the way that you walk around with your gaiva sitting on top of you.
Is that the proof?
That's the spot. Yep, the sitzur didn't tell us. No, we know it's v'chaper from the smichas, but we have to figure out what it's v'chaper on. To the stop, that's what's v'chaper.
These are all actually put into the blood, and so do we clean these, or these don't get cleaned either, because each time you use it back, we thought that we can't clean them.
No, we never use them. They're just in a remnant. It's just telling us how we know that they're wearing the begunim. Avnet is bachapar on hiura leiv, hechadit. The avnet is worn on the leiv, and therefore it's clearly bachapar on the leiv. Choshen is bachapar al dinim. That's bachapar on dinim that turned out to be mekul kolim, judgments. Shemer v'asita choshen mishpat. Aphod is Bechapar on Avodas Kechavim. Shemar Ein Aphod, V'Trafim. If there's no Aphod, then you got problems with Trafim. But the Aphod itself is now Bechapar on Trafim. The Me'il is Bechapar on Lashon Hara. Inayin, how do we know that? Omer Rebbe Chanina Yavo Davar Shebekol V'Yechaper on Kol Hara. Since the Me'il is something that makes noise, V'Yishma Kolo Bevoel HaKodesh, and the opposite of a kol b'vorel HaKodesh is Lashon Hara.
That's that chavis, the Lashon Hara thing again.
Mm-hmm.
the whole mitzvah of tzitzis after the meraglim, Mitzvah meraglim.
The connection to the meraglim.
And here also.
Yeah, well, it has to do with Korach also. We'll see. Yeah. And we know that the tzitz is also mechaper, and it's mechaper al azut panim. It's mechaper for azus panim, for chutzpah. The tzitz k'tiva haya meitzach Aaron, ubi azut panim k'tivu meitzach isha zonah haya lecha. But there are those who point out from the Alshech that the these things of Adapka, the things that are mentioned in terms of the Churban, they bring the Pasuk for each one of them. So that these were meant to be tikkunim for the elements of Yisrael that would be leading to Churban. That's why they're built into the Beis HaMikdash. And these eight specific areas of chait should be mechuporis to try to keep the Mishkan alive as well. The whole point of the Mishkan, with Yom HaKippurim and so on, is all integrated into its own survival.
Now that we don't have them.
So, we'll say Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Shnei Dvarim Lo Matzinu Lem Kapara B'Karbonot. There were two things that in Karbonos we don't find any way to make Mechapra on them, but Matzinu Lo Kapara Mimakom Acher. We do find some other element of Kapara, the Elohim, Shvichut Damim and Lashon Hara. Where are those two Kapara? Shvichut Damim we find from the Egla Rufa. Oh, now wait a second, I thought we saw Shvichut Damim was from the Ketonet. And Lashon Hara we find from the Ketoret. Whoops, I thought we said it was from the Me'il. This is our problem. Detani Rabbi Chananya, minayin the Ketoret shemechaperes, shenemar vayitin es ha-Ketoret vayechaper al ha'am. And over there, Rashi points out, this is what I was referring to before, vayechaper al ha'am, because by the machlokas of Korach, at this point it had turned into Lashon Hara. Because what they said was, atem hemitem etam Hashem. So they blamed Moshe and Aaron for the whole problem in the first place. Typical. So therefore you needed to have the Keteris to be Mechaper on the Magepa that had broken out because of Lashon Hara. So now what do we do with the way that we said it? And it's reasonable because Yavodavasha Bechashai, the Keteris is brought inside the Beis HaMikdash. Nobody else is allowed to be there. There's a chiyuv to get everybody out. So too, Lashon Hara is spoken by inserting words into people's minds and so on, right? So it's like putting it inside, just like Keteris is put inside. So it's Vayechaper Maisa Chashai.
In your
exactly. So Kasha Lashon Hara, Kasha Shvichas Dami, Shvichas Dami. And we have a contradiction. We said it was the Ketonet. Here it says the Egla Rufa. We said it was the Me'il. Here it says that it's the Keteris. Loikash. No. Shvichas Damim is not a problem because Hadi Yadi Yaman Dikatle, Hadi Lo Yadi Yaman Dikatle. There's two different cases. I mean, one could be a case where we know who the murderer was. That one, of course, the Egla Rufa doesn't come for. Well, you don't know who the murderer was, the Egla Rufa comes for. You know who the murderer was. He's supposed to be killed then. What do you mean? If man katla bar ktalo, I mean, this is a chiyav misa, that's the kapora. I mean, what's a shayach? No. We're talking about we know who the murderer was, we can't kill him because he didn't get any atzra. Well, what's the takkotna over there? Lashon hara is also lokasha. Oh, betzina. What are you talking about, betzina to davar shebechashai? When you're talking about Bifarhesia, that's a Davar Shebekol. It makes a lot of noise. Davar Shebekol, that you need something that makes a lot of noise. That's a Me'il is Chaper. Hadron Allah HaMizbeach Mekadesh.
Li Neder.
Kol HaTadir Mekavero. HaTodem Et Kavero. The Bali Neder comes as Tadir. Whatever is found more often is supposed to be there first. Now you can say
it. Imanyen by Torah says, I called Rabbi Yabba the summit. So you said here that the piece is from Rabbi Yabba. I said, I called it. It's a different peak on you. You need to call in the right way. Call Yabba the summit.
It's interesting that someone learned about the opposite. I was wondering about that. Some learn why is it called my Hashoi. For some reason, not like that. I'll tell you, they sell now these little tiny refrigerators. Right, maybe. Huh? Oh, no, I only know about the sun, but we can put it like right up there.
Oh, good, that's small, so good.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
How's your mother?
I was in the search.